February the 3rd, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Day. My topic is El Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wahiuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of this show on the talk, go online to www.blocktalkradiomaradspeech.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So we will open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mubarak. The Quran Surah 21 ayat 16 to 17. World not created sport and play. Now, Brother Imam, you see that I've discussed the Quran, and I had the Quran in my hand, but I touched it from mythology. I touched it from the Bible. And if you hear me, I touched it from the teachings of Farad, not Farad Muhammad. He hasn't earned Muhammad yet. I'm talking about W.D. Farad, or W.F. Farad, or W.F. Muhammad. Way from Muhammad, as far than Jews. That's what he is, as far than Jews. And the as far than Jews are the Orientals, the Jews who give the world Orientalism. You know Oriental mythology and all of that? They're the ones who digged into that. They're the ones who spreaded it. That's right. I don't make no, it doesn't make any sense. They just flood the world with a lot of symbolism. See, they lie and play. They make this world for sport and play. Say he made it for just end. This is Quran. He made it for just end, not for sport and play, meaning it's unjust. So the Jacobite plays with symbolic language. It's not justice for people with extorticism to get knowledge and then start playing with the world by throwing out these symbols, all of these myths and mythologies. But they enjoy it. They have a laugh on the world. They can see the meaning behind the whole, they can see the meaning behind it while we are enchanted. Go see a fiction movie and we are just enchanted with it. But that's their fix, seeing us respond to darkness while they have the light. But what is symbolism except darkness if you don't have the interpretation or the meaning? The Quran Surah 21, ayat 7 to 8, Prophet, Man, Mortal. Bukhari, page 1, 345, Prophet, Seven Heavens. So this tells the manipulators of man, no science that you can get can hold down the freedom of man. You think you killed a man, but you'll see him tomorrow. The germ of righteousness is in man, and you can't kill it. You expose it, you bury it, but eventually there it is again. The Quran Surah 21, ayah 16, this creation not for sport and play. 5 cents sounds like senses. 1 penny is 1 cent, 1 census. Pitching pennies. How many of you males remember pitching pennies? That was a signal of what was coming. what is one penny called? 1 cent. And 5 pennies, 5 cents. So if you try to make cents plural, how would you pronounce it? Cents. You see what is going on? Do you see what is happening in that which seems to be only clay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in our holy book to this world, and its guardians who pride themselves in being in charge of the world. We were not at play when we created the skies and the earth. Quran Surah 21, Ayah 16. It was not a play game. It is a serious matter. I know you remember shooting pools. You still do that. Do you remember when you called ourselves cats? I remember hearing someone say something like this. Later for those cats, man. The Quran Surah 22, Ayat 1 to 2. It is saying that when God has established everything and has set the world in nature so that you can only get off the course for so far and for so long, pretty soon you are going to reach your limit and the time is going to run out on you. When that happens, it is going to be a very grievous time for you and yours going to be shot. When man puts something together that they think is powerful, their secrets in that thinking, they're going to be comfortable ruling for a long time. Some of them think that they're going to be able to rule forever. Then all of a sudden things go wrong for the rulers, and they see the thing falling in and it shocks them. The more it crumbles, the more the so-called ignorant people come into the understanding of just what the leaders have done. This is a time for the rulers. It's a shocking time and grievous time. It causes them to go back into their closets, put their heads in their hands, and moan and groan. We are talking about things that happen in a civilization, things that are close to your heart and your mind. They eat the meat, the heavy food, and give the masses of people the milk, the light stuff. So when that time comes, they are going to in so much trouble that they are going to forget about striving to hold on to the baby mind. They are going to let them go in shock. Drop pregnant loads is unformed, ignorant following. And every pregnant one will lay down her burden. Here it is one that hasn't yet managed to get a community of ignorant people to suck their blood. They are just in the process of forming a group of ignorant people to serve them, to be their baby. It is still in the formation period. When that comes, the shock is going to be so great that it'll make them give up their plans and walk away. Man drunken means leaders thinking status shattered. And you will see man as drunken. What does man mean here? In most places where you find it in scripture, it means the intellect, composition of the person, the mind. It means you will see minds drunken. You will see those minds that you have been looking up to and respecting as strong minds, in control of everything, and drunken mind, it says, yet they will not be drunken. This means that they won't have liquors. Then it will be the effects of shock. God will have sent boulders of knowledge and truth into their houses of their thinking and scattered their brains. it says, but the chastisement of Allah will be severe. Babies in religion sit around praying and clapping and waiting for God to abort some miracle or some punishment that's going to physically hurt people. In our baby understanding, we want to see God get a physical whip and physically whip old boss lady and boss man. The worst chastisement that can be put upon wicked rulers is to break up their mind and to break up the intellectual composition that they have put together to rule ignorant people. Then expose them and let the common people come into the knowledge of their superior game. You ask for one punishment, but God knows how to punish, not you. The Quran, Surah 22, Ayah 2, pregnant woman drops her load. The Quran, Surah 80, Ayah 37, each one indifferent to the other need. So you know the mother and the father, they used to watch over the development of our personalities, because at that time their influence was strong. But when the church abdicated and stepped back and allowed the media and everything else to take over that role, then the parents got away from that and they stopped watching over the development of the child personality. And all of a sudden now the child is coming at the parent with a bat or with a knife. The parent has been neglecting its responsibilities for all of those summers and springs and winters and falls. But now the child is threatening the parent's life. The Quran tells us that day was to come. It's plainly written in the Quran that the day was going to come. The child was going to punch the parent for parental neglect. It doesn't put it in those words that I'm saying, but it means just that. That the people were going to turn their minds away from the true reality and were going to give their lives to the fleeting things and the failure to meet most their own obligations was going to eventually result in a kind of blind greed and a blind sensuality where each person goes after what satisfies them immediately and forget about the consequences down the road. So parents have stopped watching over the development of their child's personality. All of a sudden now the child is coming with a bat, a knife, or attack the parent. The parent's been neglecting its responsibility for all of these summers, springs, and winters. People have turned their mind from true reality and give themselves to life with the fleeting thing. Some people striving for personality fulfillment, and they just soak up any personality expression that comes around them. They're not crazy. That wouldn't happen if the people were living in a religious context that fulfilled the personality need in their lives. People who live outside of a life context that structures that their life and keep before certain principles, they are really cut off from life. So they don't have any life of their own. Their life is subject to circumstances. Whatever impressions come in today, you just become a vessel for anybody to come and drop something in the characterized black and African, have no stable constant personality. If we want to describe personalities of blacks in the world, it's emotional and characteristics. So this is not to discredit us. Emotionalism will not allow you to come into what is called achieved personalities. So we take on accused personalities. It just forms as natural addition. There was no plan, no effort to govern or direct the formation of the personality. It just happens under the natural influences. Pop artists can bring out a song that will give us new personalities, whole black people. So the African also is given to that kind of susceptibility, more so than other races. So when are we going to become a personality true to ourselves, get our life, ourself, on the primitive level? Blacks copy the baboon, dogs copy mannerism and social traits of the animals, like all other primitive societies did until they grew out of that. So the Caucasian came amongst him, influenced him, and he copied the Caucasian. Here in this late date, we can do no more than absorb expression, copy, mimic, imitate. You can't act out your intelligence, only absorb impression. The Quran, Surah 23, Ayat 1 to 11, and 91 to 9. Bukhari, Volume 8, 453, Prophet, rich is contentment of the soul. If we strive to please Allah, we are assured success. So this doesn't mean that you're going to be rich if you want money and business, but you are assured success. It is not always the rich person who is successful. Sometimes his wealth destroys his family. Himself may leave him in jail or get him killed. If I get all the money in the world and I am in hell mentally, then I am in my soul, I am not successful. The guarantee is that you are going to be pleased. The Quran, Surah 23, Ayat 6, marriage. So as a result of these violent clashes, Muslims had many captives amongst these captives would be women. Some of them favored the religion of Islam, though they were raised as pagans, as believers, and idol worship. The Muslims were permitted to take wives from amongst those women if they so desired to marry a Muslim man. So the mind thought fluid. The Quran, Surah 23, Ayat 12 to 14. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 to 5. Speak in tongues. Play man from means you had no power to resist God. God told us in the Quran how he makes and how we get out of that original make. And he shows us again how to get it back or get back into it. He says he began your creation from something no more than clay. What is meant by this clay? Clay is manageable material. Clay is agreeable material. So God did not take in any disagreeable material, no stubborn, rebellious, arrogant material, when he wanted to set about making his human being. He picked something like clay, meaning that when he started to form you, you had no power to resist him. You were unformed. You had no mind of your own. You could not question. You could not resist. You didn't have anything to use to question with. The Quran says, the angel said, O God, we have no knowledge except what you gave us. O Iblis, from fire, by man, by my faculty, burning the midnight oil. But Satan said, I refuse to bow, God. I am better than what you are asking me to bow to. You created me from black mud. You created him from black mud, fashioned into shape. And you created me from fire. He was created from something like fire, meaning I have come into my form by rational activity. I have been burning my faculties, burning the midnight oil. I have been thanking God and figuring out things for myself. I have come up with a civilized order for society. I came up with the hard, I came up the hard way. Now, do you want me to bow down to somebody just because they are morally right? Just because they are spiritual? God, I don't want to bow to something made of earth and fashioned into earthly shape, but does not have a powerful rationale, not lit with the power of reasoning, logic, etc. He did not come through the struggle like I did, beating my way through the wilderness, conquering the soil, the water, the vegetation, the animals, and even brought the angels under my power. God, I am the keeper of these angels. Don't you see now that electricity, magnetism, heat, and all the other forms of energy invisible behind these things are now in my control? God, don't you see that even intelligence bows to me, that even human nature bows to me, that even human spirit bows to me? This thing that you're going to pick is something beneath me, something that I will have to carry along like a baby and have to give it civilization, food, clothing, shelter, schools, and et cetera. Now you are going to ask me to now bow down to this cheap, black, stinking mud thing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when I have breathed into him of my spirit, bow down to him. And if you don't like it, get out of here. God said, get down from here. Allah's breath is a sign in creation and scripture. So we have been thinking that God said, woo, I'm blowing. And man stood up. No, indeed. God said, let me tell you about your creation from clay. Let me tell you how I brought you from clay to thick water. God began preaching scientific facts of creation and human nature through his prophet prayers and the peace be upon him, through his divine science in creation. That was his birth. God, man says, I used to be thinking mud, fashioned into shape. Now I'm sweet smelling. The mud has turned into a mirror. The state has in turn has turned into a clean morality. You still see the same old physical form, but you better bow down, because God has ordered, and he says, from liking it or disliking it, you have to bow. So man from clay, sperm, clot, bone, flesh. So Teth fly is baby. Teth fly is clay. So he says he began the creation of the human being from something no more than clay. Then he formed a semen drop, thick water, the germ of life, from the male that goes into the female. He formed him from a thick water semen drop. Nufatin is the Arabic word. Nufatin. So when we look at the semen drop, it looks foggy, but pretty clear. We can see sparks are in it. So the world has taught us to think that is filth. Don't even think semen drop that is filthy, sinful. But God says, look, you're talking about the stage in your development. That is not the first base. In fact, it is the second up, the ladder. The lowest that I accepted was something like clay, meaning something that had no mind or knowledge to resist or to question with, and had nothing but nature God had given it. So when knowledge came, it just obeyed. Isn't this the nature of babies? Clay in Arabic is tefli. Baby in Arabic is tefli, the two words have the same basic letters, T-F-L. So you see, when the book says he created the human being from something like clay to those people who received it first, it meant I created you from a baby, from a child who had no knowledge to rebel. no knowledge to stand up and challenge with. You could do no more than just accept it, come into form. That is what God is saying, because the baby is like clay. We take that clay and we make any shade we want out of it. Clay indentation is symbolic of reminder. So we can make it soft, which means soft in the society. And something speaks to its politeness. And we can make it hard. And somebody speaks to it. And it asks, who in the hell you think you are? You, or who in the hell you talking to? Then somebody comes with a hammer and the clay just falls all apart and can't be put back together. But that soft clay, they can come with a hammer and it leaves an indentation. It did not break it up. He remembered that indentation is a reminder, a sign. Don't do that again now. You don't want a whole lot of indentations all over you. So that hard one, you can't correct it. You can't discipline it. You hit him and he breaks up, crumbles down. And you have to throw that clay out. What you going to do with that clay? You can't do anything with it. So sperm is like water, but cloudy represents the world's mind. The Quran says, then from the clay or from the baby nature, he made us something like water, but cloudy. So when we come out of that, the baby state, and begin to learn something of the world, the mind that was clear gets cloudy. Now, a mind has been formed. First, where we are dealing with nature. The mind had not been formed. Now we are not dealing with the nature. The flesh was good. Was there anything wrong with the flesh? That is what the Holy Quran is telling us. Don't you see that I make babies and they do that, and they do that have anything wrong with them? They are flesh. But once mind started to form in them, you started having problems because you put the wrong thing in their mind. So their minds are kind of foggy. I gave them a kind of foggy mind from the start because I want them to grow into a light so they will appreciate it. But never block out all the light. I just a few areas foggy. But when you take over their minds, then you begin to let that keep on going. After making the clay, then it says a semen drop. A drop of thick water fluid or little life germ from the male body. That's kind of foggy, but yet you can see through it. It is transparent. Then he says he put it, lodged it in a place of rest. Where is the place of rest? It is in the mother's care. When does that baby rest? He or she rests when it is in mother's arms. So God gives the semen drop to mama. But we think he is talking about the womb of the mother from the male organ or from the male to the womb of the woman. We think it means just reading it literally. But womb of the woman, but it means he puts it into her charge. And in her charge, that child is at rest. He nurses on his mother's breast. He sleeps in his mother's lap. She by nature has been designed to give him the proper care. If nobody interferes with this nature, it is going to develop to a high state. So clot of blood means some knowledge is in the mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a clot of blood. Now we think of this being in the mother's womb again. That's from a semen drop. Science tells us the drop becomes a clot of blood, not a clot of blood as such. But his mind is growing now. It is no more transparent. some objects has gotten into his mind. So when his mother first received him, there was no object in his mind. It was just a little fogginess, the absence of knowledge. But his mind was pure, like water, clear. But then with his mother, as he stayed there in that place of rest, it began to take on ideas from the society. These ideas from the society makes it a clot of blood, meaning that now it has human life. Blood is called the life. So human life is not the physical body's life. Life here means knowledge from the human mind has come into the child's mind and has brought to birth a human mind in that child. Before that child received that knowledge of our human society, it did not have a human mind. It just had a mind. And that mind was submissive and agreeable with truth. And not only that, with kindness. I do not care how ugly babies look or how irritable it seemed to be when it comes from its mother's womb. We can't give a pleasant response from that baby. The little baby smiles and it has no teeth, but shows us those gums. Something, this smile just can't hardly stop smiling, some of them. What he learns from us that he can smile about? Nothing. Why is he smiling? Because God put it in his nature. God made flesh beautiful, submissive, kind and loving. He did not make it sinful, but we begin to feed our crazy walk, distorted lying false ideas, and then the child takes on an ugly nature. So you are going to be a little while, but you are going to be better off, I assure you. You will be stronger. You think you know where the power is in this. No, the power is in God's guidance. You want power, just sit here and listen, and you will have power. So blood, life of the body. Mind is the life of your flesh. Brain dead legally, though life is in the body. So he tells us in the Quran, after the clot of blood, after we have taken on ideas from the society, where does the blood come from? The blood comes from the flesh of our parents, of people. This means that the life of the body, the Bible says, blood is the life of the body. So the life of your flesh is your mind. Your mind moves your body. When your mind becomes dead, they usually take a brain wave test, ECG. And if they don't see any sign of activity in your brain, though your body is still alive, they call you legally dead. So we, the unlike talking about the physical blood God is using, these things to show us signs of a higher knowledge that he is pointing us to. And it is divine because those things speak perfectly the higher wisdom. So if God can trace your growth from beginning to where you are right now and where you should be and how you and show you into physical things that have taken place in perfect sequence or in perfect order, but these things speak perfectly the reality that is in your life. So John 1, in the beginning there was the Logos, the Word. Word took on flesh, means divine logic took on your flesh ignorance. Now isn't that a proof? They're talking about proof. Can religion be validated? Is religion empirical knowledge? Can religion be logically substantiated? You fool you. It is more powerful than any of the logic you have ever heard or ever will hear of. In fact, your logic is non-logic. In the beginning, there was the Logos. it is all logic. Yours is grafted logic. The Bible says, in the beginning there was the Word. Word is logos, logic. If from Word, it says, then the Word took on flesh. And the divine logic took on your fleshly ignorance. It had to bring your flesh up into, took on me to take on responsibility for something or the challenge. If I take on Muhammad Ali, it means I challenge him. If I take on a problem, it means I challenge the problem. If I am going to solve it, but I do anyway. So if I take on responsibility, it means I am going to carry it. So the Bible says in the beginning there was the Word. And the Word took on flesh, meaning that it challenged flesh to make grow. I'm going to have to go to fight flesh. I want you to have some more muscles. Not only that, it took on the burden of flesh. I know you are nothing but Teflon, baby, something like clay, but I am going to push you until you become a cement drop and carry you until you become a clot of blood. It says that the Word has taken on flesh. It means God in divine truth, in his message, has the Word of real truth, logic, and real logic. So fetus lump means the mind has been given thoughts of somebody else. So here come into our flesh. He comes into our flesh and begin bringing our mind up to high form, then a clot of blood, and after that, a fetus lump. What is a fetus lump? A fetus lump is the clot of blood that has grown into a flesh lump. It is more than just blood now, but it is still unstructured. So what is this referring to now? We mentioned the clay. We mentioned the semen drop been put or lodged in a place of rest into the mother's child. Now the clot of blood is the form, meaning the idea of human society, the life out of our bodies, our mind, is fed into that new child and give him that same blood, same life now. After that, God says, he then makes a fetus lump. And science tells us this is exactly true for the stage of physical development in the mother's womb. The fetus lump, what is it referring to? What is it referring to now? Fetus lump here means that their minds have been given thoughts of blood of the body of somebody else. So when those thoughts come in our mind, they are just going through the mind. But after a while, as a child, I begin to think I know. So when I begin to think I know, that means I have been formed as a fetus lump. It is not fluid anymore. It is not running unformed. It is not blood anymore as clot or a thought that is just in the body. But it is a thought now that has taken on something in me. Fetus lump is flesh. My own flesh now is with this thought from outside. So it means that now I have begun to come under the thought from outside. It came into me now, and I begin to form in the likeness of what I was taught. I have accepted society's knowledge that it has given me. So now I speak like you speak. So speak in tongues. Bones, building is an edifice, and divine truth is edifying. So bone means law. But this is not enough. God says out of the fetus lump, bones, it is not enough for me to talk like you talk. I have your mind. And be formed to, it is a clot of flesh. Not the blood that you can easily wipe up, the blood up. Blood clots, but if it clots, you can't wipe it up. But that fetus lump is flesh already. You can do that. So the thought has been put in the child so long, you can't take them out that easily. You have to tear the flesh up and kill the thing. But God doesn't want it like this. It says he caused in the flesh bones to grow. And this is true in science. Your bones don't form before your flesh. Flesh forms before bones in the flesh. So what does this mean? When we speak of a structure, we call it edifying, or the edifice. And when we speak of logical structuring God's truth as logical arguments, we call it edifying. So in the New Testament, Paul says, there is one thing to have the Holy Ghost, and there is another thing to have the power of edification. So the bones come into the main, it comes in, means, now I have learned how to defend my mind that I've gotten from the world. I can reason by myself now. I know how to put the law of argument in structure. I can form a premise and then begin defending it by establishing this particular proposition. And that particular proposition, and finally, I structure my argument. So I have become an argument now. God made it. God made me of Teflon, a baby that did not argue. But now I have become an argument. I think I know, saying, don't tell me. That doesn't mean that. That does not have to be right because you say so. And you prove it. So I have bones now. Another meaning of bones in Scripture is law. Why does it also mean law? Because the law of logic is the law. The argument that you give you are following this direction of certain things you call laws of reasoning. So society then takes on laws, and they call them laws for society. But the law for the individual is the law of reasoning or his own logic. So that is his own private law or his own private skeleton or his own private edifice that holds up his flesh. Some say, I have to defend myself. Don't tell me so and so. I have more sense than that. I can defend my own self. So thought is fluid. Flesh means my knowledge. Bones is logic. So here, so he means, I can uphold my own flesh. What is the flesh? The flesh means that which is with you, that has been given from and has no power of itself. So it is not mind. It is not thought. Thought is fluid. Mind is like a liquid body of law. The flesh is something that has taken form. So my edifying ability or my logic or my reasoning holds up my knowledge. Flesh means my knowledge. So my flesh is my knowledge. I can defend my knowledge. Means that I can uphold my knowledge with my argument, with my so-called logic. So bones are formed in the flesh. Logic or rational argument has formed in my knowledge. Thought comes through, or thought comes together, reason and mature to make knowledge. So you see, from blood to flesh, and then knowledge. So with knowledge, we learn how to defend that body of knowledge, and that ability to defend that body of knowledge is called logic or reasoning. And that particular body of argument is the bones for the flesh that upholds the knowledge. It says, Thumma kalikin akhira. Thumma kalikin akhira, which means then another creation or a new creation. So after we have been made or created like this and have come into bones where we think we know everything, I can uphold my own. My flesh won't fall down like a lump. I can hold it up like a man. So So the bones are in there now. The flesh is structured upright. My lump will not fall down. I have bones in my lump. I can uphold my flesh. After you get like that and think you know everything, God says, then a new creation, it has to create you all over again. You crazy, stubborn blockhead, you have the wrong understanding. You ask, how is God going to do this? How can God create me again? He said, he who formed you in the first time is most powerful to do it again. So didn't he create babies on earth? And didn't he form societies naturally before this world went crazy and have all of these weird human ideas? He know how it is supposed to be populated and built up. He know how the edifying is to produce the edifice. So the Quran, Surah 24, Ayat 35. Lamp, and a glass. So the prophet has worked on obeying God so long until there is no effects to obey. Obedience has become the nature of that person. The morals are not like water that needs a container equals discipline. So there is no container needed. It has already taken itself the discipline. So if their glass is holding that shape, nothing takes it out unless you destroy the glass. But where is the shaking? It has to have something to hold it constantly. Glass, you can move it about. It keeps the same shape. The high moral character of Prophet Muhammad is described Nura el glass, pure, refined, clear glass that shows clearly the light. His character as no more like water, needing constant work on it to keep it right, or constantly holding it in check. His morals have become like glass, fixed, as God wanted him to be. So the prophet had attained that degree of moral control wherein he didn't have to constantly work on his morals. So the Quran, Surah 24, Ayat 35, Allah's light of the sky and earth. The Quran, Surah 33, Ayat 46, Prophet as a lamp, Sarajin Muknirin, Psalm 23:5. Anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. So light, John 9:5, Jesus light of the world, as long as I am in the world. We have heard that God is the light of the heaven and the earth, and we have heard that Jesus is the light. But here, in this, it is very clear that a man is not the light. The prophet is not the light, but the prophet is a means for aiding that light, for aiding the transmission of that light to those that is meant for. Just as the lamp sets in the niche, and the niche itself helps distribute the light or to diffuse the light. So this best verse is telling us that a man is not the light of God, but a man in his character may help as a reflector of what God has given of his life. It has character, is right? So his character will help reflect. Blessed tree, not east nor west, a universal knowledge. So where is the tree? Is this tree in Sinai? Is this tree in Bethlehem? Is this tree in Mecca? A blessed tree, neither east nor west. A blessed tree, neither east nor west. So what is God's knowledge? Is God's knowledge to be found in Mecca? Is it to be found in Jerusalem? Is it to be found in Africa or in Egypt? No. It's a tree that is not limited to east nor west. It is a tree that is universal knowledge. God has blessed us with universal knowledge. His knowledge is universal. It is not limited to race or to the nation. His knowledge is universal. His light is universal. His light covers both the spiritual realm and the material realm. So his knowledge is not a knowledge that addresses spiritual matters and ignore material matters. His knowledge includes both the material realm and the spiritual realm, the earth and the sky. So where is that knowledge? A parable of it is that the tree blessed by God of that tree, is the essence of substance, oil, the essence of tree. The tree itself is wood. The fruit is an olive. So the Shriners, they went to Africa, to Egypt, for the light. They went west. Egypt is west. They went west for the light. East represented by China and India. And there are some who go to India and China for the light. That's going east for the light. Mecca is central. It is not in the east, north, and not in the west. So West Africa is east, is Asia. So West Africa, east is Asia. Mecca is mid-east. It's between east and west. Mecca sits between east and west. So in the symbolic way, Mecca represents that it is not east nor west, but the light itself is universal. So if God says it is not east nor west, he means that it cannot be formed in any locality isolated from his creation. The knowledge extends over his whole creation. The knowledge is universal. So Jesus said, I am the light as long as I am in the world. He said that nevertheless, I must go away. Is that right? Okay, so Jesus said that I am the light as long as I am in the world. Meaning that when I die, I am not the light no more for you. So that's not a good parable of God's light. So it's not used in the Quran. Allah doesn't say in the Quran a parable of God's light is Prophet Muhammad, or a parable of God's light is Christ Jesus. No, a parable of God's light is the creation itself. So glass is conscience. Morals of prophets. So the glass of the lamp helps represent good conscience, the moral, high moral refinement of the prophet himself. The glass, it doesn't reveal something, hide something, and reveal something untruthful. Clear glass shows exactly what's behind it. So the prophet's conscience and his nature was clear. So what God revealed to him came out and reflected perfectly as he received it. So his very character was an aid for the diffusion or message of knowledge that he received. His very character was a means for conveying light. So the nature is called character. So when we speak of the nature of the inner person, the inner being or the mind, the personality, the conscious, the morals, moral makeup of the person. We speak of that nature, we call it character. So when it goes bad, we say he has bad character, you see. But we are talking about the nature. So Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, had the best nature. He had been made right. So right that his nature became the supreme example for all other humans to follow. So conscious, his very nature was a clear glass that reflected the light of God without any impediment or disruption or corruption, nothing blocking the way of God's light. This is the light of God, and a lamp sitting in the niche, a prophet sitting amongst them. And he himself has become so tuned, so finely tuned, that the will of God in God's revelation that his reflection of God's knowledge, as though glass, clear glass, is burning it to the people, pardon me, is bringing it to the people. And the people, as a niche, receives it and they diffuse it upward so that the whole community, the whole society gets a bit of that light. People being addressed by the light of God through prophets whose moral nature and character is so fine, so finely tuned by what God commands, that he is no obstruction, that no part of his being is hindering to obstruct the guidance or the light of God that comes through him as a messenger. So this is beautiful, signs of that light. So the light without the glass, it doesn't diffuse nicely. But when you put a clear glass about the light diffuses nicely. And the heat is contained in the glass. The light and the heat are diffused evenly because of the glass. So it's necessary for us to have the light conscious, the right moral makeup, the right moral character. If we don't have this, then somebody will get burned. But if there is a glass, they will stick their hand and hit the glass and won't directly to the fire. So the character should be separated from the fire and yet be fitting from the fire. Is that right? So here, character now surrounding the fire. The fire is burning within the character. In other words, knowledge is coming into my own mind, but my character is protecting that knowledge. And that knowledge is shining through my character. So the knowledge shouldn't come through my intellect to you. It should come through my character to you. So oil refers to knowledge. So the oil itself, without fire, is to it, appears to have light. The oil itself appears to have light. So here, oil is referring to the knowledge. So this is knowledge. The knowledge is oil. And that clear liquid is flammable. It burns a clear burning. A clear burning. Not a lot of black smoke, dust, choking stuff. Clear burning. Oil burns clear or clean. No impediments, impurities, pardon me. No impurities in it. So the oil is transparent. You can't look through the tree. You can't look through the olive. But the oil is transparent, which means that it admits understanding. It admits vision, perception. Oil being clear means that God reveals it. It will show up other things. If I put olives in the cup of olive oil, I can see the olives in the olive oil. And if there is darkness and the light, the olives, so the light will show me what is in the dark. Is that right? So the oil has the power to show what is in it. If it is not pure, not right, or if it has matter, gross matter, it will show up in the oil. Gross matter will show up in the oil. But the oil also has the ability to give off light. So if there is darkness, the light, the oil has the ability, the power to give off the light and show us what is hidden by darkness. So this is the way that God's light is. The purity light is seen in very essence of the knowledge itself. Pure knowledge doesn't show us trees, fruit, the mite, 175-pound man, blue garment, a red sheet, a white sheet. True knowledge doesn't show us that. Surface knowledge shows us that. True knowledge shows us the essence of truth. The essence of truth The true knowledge strips gross matter, grossness, and shows us one universal light or one universal knowledge. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Murad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. And we will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m. Inshallah, it only means if it please God. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.